Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Mary Jo Larson, publisher and vice president of Franchise Times Magazine, and Jeff Hill, vice president of Roar Capital Group. And Roar Capital Group is an Atlanta-based private equity firm that specializes in business and consumer service companies with attractive growth prospects and revenues ranging from $20 million to $1 billion. Its franchise portfolio consists of well-known brands such as Carvel, Cinnabon, Schlotzky, Moso Southwest, Seattle's Best Coffee International, McAllister's Deli, Money Mailer, Bass Signs, Batteries Plus, and Primrose School. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews, so stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm fine this week, Marty. How are you?
Good, good. Snowbound again here in Pennsylvania. You know, it's it seems like every Thursday we do the show.
Yeah.
We get stuck in snow, you know, but
it's been a pretty
wild
okay. winter, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just ready for spring, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Should be right around the corner.
Absolutely. March is right around the corner. Our last show, Don, we met with Todd Woods, CEO of Guerrilla Marketing Strategies, and Eddie Leonard, who is the Chief Operating Guerrilla. And very interesting show. We discussed the book Guerrilla Marketing for the Franchisee. And I know you read the book, I guess it was about 3 years ago. Many franchisees enter into a franchise business and think owning their own business will be much easier than it really is. You know, and that was Todd's story. Great show. We probably could have had them on for another hour, wouldn't you say?
Right, talking different marketing and advertising strategies. And, yeah, I mean, what I like is I feel, Marty, every business owner, you know, should read it, of course. It's really to maximize your sales, marketing. I should really look to do more than what's in the marketing plan of the franchisor is what it comes down to, depending on what type of business you have. I guess their strategy was all about repetition and doing combinations of different marketing ideas and plans. So I like their aggressiveness and how companies should really implement their strategies.
Yeah, he said a lot of interesting things. I mean, he had an interesting story, didn't he? I think he opened up, it was a Jamba Juice franchise.
Right.
It was in a new state, probably where a lot of people were kind of unfamiliar maybe with that brand name. And it was on his, I guess it was opening day, he opens up the doors and he had no customers, you know. And, you know, he did a lot of things, but only once, you know. So it was like you were saying, Don, it's guerrilla marketing is all about repetition. And he was saying, too, I thought it was interesting, he was saying don't ride on the coattails of the brand name alone, you know, that it's okay to sometimes go a little deeper, you know, and carry your business cards everywhere and anywhere and wear the shirts and things like that and just kind of go above and beyond. I thought it sent a great message. I was, when I was driving yesterday, it was funny how you and I both thought of Liberty Tax as they were telling the story. But sure enough, I drive by a Liberty Tax, and there's a young kid dressed up like Uncle Sam, and he was just dancing and just going crazy, you know. Sometimes
well, I hope they paid him at least time and a half, isn't it?
I was going to say, he was definitely worth, you know, 15, 20 bucks an hour, you know, what he was doing. It's just, it's funny because sometimes you'll see people just standing there with the sign, you know, sale, and that's it. And they're just kind of hanging on the sign, and that's kind of a waste of money. You really need someone that has a lot of enthusiasm to do that kind of job. But guerrilla marketing is a lot of different things. It's not just, you know, standing outside a store and blowing one of those, like, cop whistles or something like that, getting people's attention, you know. It's really, I mean, the book is definitely worth reading. So I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the type of book, of course, you can go back to. It's like a reference guide.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think he was saying, Todd was saying, or Eddie was saying that, you know, guerrilla marketing can make a small company look like a big company, you know, I mean, that's what it does, so, yeah.
This story was interesting, just don't think you open your doors, it's a franchise, you're going to do well, of course, or really start off right away. It's it really became a nightmare, but worked hard, turned it around.
He did, he was able to turn it around, you know, and he took responsibility, too, you know, he didn't blame the franchise initially, you know what I mean? Saying, you know, it's their fault, and, you know, I got into the wrong system, and
most
he did fantastic. Yeah, most people probably would have, you know. So it was a very positive and enthusiastic show as well. I think there was a great message there. So we'd love to have them back next year, you know, and talk some more about the stuff, because we really didn't get to even discuss everything we wanted to mention. But we have an interesting show today, too, don't we?
Yeah, we're having Jeff Hill, VP at Rourke Capital Group. You mentioned all the brands they represent. I think it's upwards of 15 total brands. Several people are very familiar with, like Carvel and Cinnabon, Fast Signs, Seattle's Best Coffee. So
some pretty big names, aren't they? It's like, you know, and then we're having Mary Jo on, and, you know, we're going to bring her in probably like about 5 minutes. And talk about that last edition. You and I were talking earlier about the Daugherty family, which is in New Jersey, in your neck of the woods. So,
a major franchisee with multi-units,
That was a great article, by the way. It was an important article, too, you know, talking about family business. You know, I'm not sure Mary Jo can mention to us. I mean, family business is very, very complicated. I studied it in Fairleigh Dickinson when I was doing my post-MBA studies, and it was probably one of my most interesting courses because I didn't realize how complicated the whole family business can be. So,
Right.
Just very interesting.
Yeah, that's what has built America, small and family businesses.
Absolutely. Did you have a quick article you wanted to talk about before we brought Mary Jo in? Or?
Yeah, Marty, the Business Journal by Jill McCullough. It's Consider with Care, Tips for Evaluating a Franchise Opportunity. Although the 2010 outlook calls for little industry growth, franchising remains popular. Experts say, however, that numerous factors must be considered in picking the right franchise to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Pervin, Chairman and CEO of American Association of Franchisees and Dealers, he's out of California, says franchising can be a lucrative investment for those who do their homework, something we're always preaching, of course.
Right.
Now, never make a quick decision. The more you learn about the selection process, the more successful you will be at understanding what the franchisor is really offering you, he says. The Washington, D.C.-based IFA predicts the industry, following losses in the number of new franchises, jobs and revenue in all nine, like most other industries, will show a flat or marginal increase from this year going into 2010. Lisa Harrison with the D.C.-based IFA says there are 90 franchise categories to choose from, including health and wellness, food, senior care. I've always referred to about 80, at least 80 industries. Maybe it is up to 90 different categories, Marty.
Did they say they said 90 in the article? That's amazing. I haven't seen that. It's the first time I've seen it that high.
The franchise opportunity you settle upon depends on what part of the country you are in, the needs in your community, consumer demand, and the things that interest you, says Harrison, who advises prospective investors to use the Internet to gather preliminary information. Pervin says potential investors should verify that the franchise companies they're interested in are focused on the distribution of products or services, not just the selling of franchises.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Part of evaluating a franchise opportunity, experts say, means having the right people in place to handle due diligence. Pervin cautions that investors avoid the temptation to cut corners when it comes to due diligence and hiring the right professionals to handle that task.
Mm-hmm.
The most critical piece of the evaluation, he says, is finding a financial advisor, a CPA, an attorney who have a solid understanding of franchising. The next step is talking to those on the front lines. To truly identify which franchise is worthy of your investment, you need to talk to franchisees, including ones that the franchisor doesn't recommend or have recently left the system.
Mm-hmm.
Include some in similar geographic areas, some who've been in business 3 to 12 months, and some who've gone through a renewal cycle.
The due diligence is overwhelming when you think about it, you know, when you're actually looking into a system. I mean, all the work that actually goes into it, you wonder how much work people actually do before they do make that final decision. You know, and I think one of the questions sometimes you want to ask too, Don, is, you know, depending on the individual, as you were mentioning, do you want to go with a big franchise system or do you want to go with a smaller franchise system? We've spoken about that on the show before. In fact, we did a special podcast on that, meaning that, you know, when you go with a bigger franchise system, like let's say something like in Yum Brands, you know, where there's thousands of different, you know, franchisees, you're not going to have as much say, but the brand is definitely recognizable.
Right.
When you go with a smaller system, you may have a little more control and ability to speak to the guys like the CEO and perhaps make some kind of impact in the franchise as far as decisions go and things like that. So it's always
different levels
a big
of risk,
question.
And you have to, you have to go with the system you're comfortable in, and I guess your own confidence in maybe running a brand that might not have that big name of like a KFC.
Absolutely.
Pizza. It goes on, Marty, the best companies have proven management philosophies. As a rule of thumb, Pervin advises franchise prospects to budget 2-5% of the total investment for due diligence. For example, an attorney is going to cost a couple thousand to review the offering. And a few thousand more professional expenses to determine if the company is the kind of company you want to partner with, but the time and money invested up front will pay dividends in the long term. And you and I are obviously big proponents of having these types of
mm-hmm.
experts to help you out in making a decision and reviewing agreements and looking at leases if you're leasing space, all crucial to your success.
Yeah, you can't go at this alone, can you? You know, I mean, it's, you know, when we've had, like, the franchise attorneys on the show, you know, Nancy Lenard, Kevin Hine, I mean, they brought up things that, you know, the average person would just never think about, you know, and even finding a location. I mean, there's people out there, Don, that could help you in finding that killer location. You know, we spoke about the importance of that as well, so.
It's an important decision. You don't want to look back and say, oh, I should have done this or that. It's worth
mm-hmm.
the investment.
Yeah, most definitely. it's a great article. You know, it's and definitely important. You know, it's so it's
a great
good.
Article. I was up to 3 a.m. last night.
Well, that's what you said. It's I believe you. But if you're a frequent listener to our weekly radio show, then you know what fans Don and I are of Franchise Times Magazine. And this morning we're excited to have Mary Jo Larson, Vice President and Publisher of Franchise Times. And Mary Jo is going to discuss what's going on with, like, future stories in Franchise Times. Hey, Mary Jo, how you doing today?
Great. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great today, Mary Jo. As you know, joining us is Don Johnson, my co-host, and I know you want to say
Don.
Hi, Don.
Yeah. Hey, Mary Jo. I had the honor of seeing Mary Jo again recently in Texas at a show.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Well, I want to have it a surprise right here, Marty. You're surprised?
I am surprised, yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get to see you again in Washington, Mary Jo. Are you going to that show where I know you guys are usually there?
Yes, I will be in Washington, D.C.
That's fantastic.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, that's always a fun show, isn't it?
It is. It's fun to see all the new franchises that are out there and just what's happening. And it's a great time to network with people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See friends, new contacts. It's always worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Don and I were talking earlier, Mary Jo, about the story you guys wrote in the last edition about the Daugherty family, and just thought it was interesting. And your opening column too, which is you always have that nice segue. You were talking about your son working at Starbucks, and did you learn anything from that story? Did you find anything interesting in that article?
From the Daugherty story?
From the Daugherty story, yeah.
Yes, that Ed Daugherty is the head of Daugherty Enterprises, and I believe they own about 100 restaurants. They're one
That's
of the
amazing.
They take in about $264 million in revenues a year. And it really was interesting to learn about a family business and how they operate. And having, you know, his wife was the first one in on the family business with him, and then his kids joined him. They grew up in the restaurants basically being servers, but later on after they went to college, they came back in to the business, and what are the dynamics of that? It's very different working with your family.
Oh, yeah. I was toned on earlier, Mary Jo. I studied family business when I was going for my post-MBA at Fairleigh Dickinson. It ended up being one of my favorite courses because I didn't realize how complicated the family business is, you know, so I really appreciated, you know, you guys writing the article. I thought it was a very important article because I think people have a misperception about family business.
And they're also of the best, you know, they're in the best state in the country, too. That was another reason for New Jersey.
I think that's the best state in the country, huh?
And they're, like, in the central part of the state. I bet you I've been to at least a few of their restaurants.
I,
right, Mary,
I bet
have
you
a
have.
Bunch.
They have a lot of restaurants, so I bet you have. I think just commenting on what you were saying, Marty, I think people don't understand what entails a family business. And Franchise Times, we're going to be covering that a lot in the future. In fact, our next cover is going to be on Donato's Pizza, and the daughter of the founder is now running that. So we're going to try to stay with that as one of our features. That might not be a cover story every month, but that's going to be one of our features because it's such a big part of franchising.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Yeah, we did a similar interview, I guess it was about a year ago, Don, right, when we were doing Cousin Subs and Christine Specht, where she took over as, the, I think, the COO of Cousins now. So it's you see that, you know, but she was mentioning, I mean, it is complicated, and I think it puts a lot of pressure too on the kids too to probably work harder, you know, and I think you guys mentioned that in the article as well.
You know, anytime in a family business, you want to you know, you don't want to be, you know, hopefully gets passed on to future generations. You don't want to be the one that kind of let your guard down. I thought the magazine cover, Mary Jo, was great with the whole family there. But don't you think you were promoting alcoholism a little bit with this cover? All holding up beers,
I sure hope not.
You know, was that your decision?
I sure hope not. You know, alcohol is part of the restaurant business, so
good
it's out there.
All right, yeah, very profitable.
But I'll watch that next time.
Yeah,
I'll watch that next time, Don.
All right. So what's going on? You know, tell us a little bit about the next magazine to come out, and I mean, you mentioned the Donato's. Is that the next one that you're going to be doing?
Yes, we really have a great story, a family story about the founder, who is Jim Grody, and he started it in the front of his house. He started Donato's in the front of his house, and very often Jane Abel, who is his daughter, grown daughter now, who is running the company, talks about how people waiting for their pizza would often come back into their kitchen and sit and chat with them while they were waiting for their takeout. So
wow.
It was really, really a family business. And then she grew up in the business and ended up being a senior executive as they grew it, you know, to many locations. And as you know, they sold that to McDonald's a few years ago. And then the family bought it back. So it's a really good story about how some of the family members stayed, some of them left.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
right.
very interesting in the dynamics of what happens in a family business. And it's always different. Some kids aren't interested in being in the family business.
That's right. And Marty and I love these type of stories, these entrepreneurial, how the business got started. It's always one of our questions, Mary Jo, and we realize it's a family business. We're always interested in how it got started. It's amazing. There's so many pizza franchises, but they all seem to endure for the most part, right?
You know, this one really did well, and, you know, that was kind of reaching the brass ring or grabbing the brass ring was when you have McDonald's come to you and say, you're the best we've seen. We like your pizza, and we want to try to grow this chain. So, and it, what was also very notable in this story was Jane, who is right now the chief operating officer and the president, how she went from going to the family business and being able to walk into her dad's office and tell her dad what she thought, to all of a sudden she went with the chain to McDonald's. And now all of a sudden she was in a big corporation where it was harder to walk into the president's office. You just didn't do that.
Right.
So she talks about her evolution and what being at McDonald's taught her. So very, very good story. Nancy Weingartner, our executive editor, did a great job on this.
Well, I was going to say, so when we get the magazine, we can flip to the back and read Nancy's article and then read her second one on this family story.
That's right. You can. That's right. Her column is very fun and humorous and always provides a lighter side to franchising.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and that's what we love about, you know, the magazine, too, Mary Jo. I think I've mentioned this to you before, is how, you know, Don and I mean, we feel like we know you just by reading the magazine. It's really been 10 years now, you know. I mean, even your kids growing up in the magazine, you know, you're mentioning the last one, your son working for Starbucks, you know, I mean, it just really is incredible. I mean, they're big kids now. They're not like little kids anymore, you know, when you first started writing the magazine, you know, so it is amazing. I don't know if you realize that sometimes, that all the people that have actually feel like they're part of your family in a way, and you always have that nice segue into the main article, you know, which is really great. So,
well, I appreciate
that. We love the magazine. It's fantastic. That's a great story, too, Don, as you were saying about Donato's, you know, I mean, starting, you know, at their house. I mean, we've had similar, I think Rita's was similar, wasn't it, Don? Like, they started on the porch of, you know, someone's house, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, they're all up in the Northeast, all over the place. So it's just, it really
is
incredible.
Yeah, that was a great show because, we got the whole Dave Thomas angle with our guest.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Which is also an interesting story. I read the book on the Dave Thomas story and Wendy's, and that was very interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The people that start these franchises really take a lot of risk, and they really have to be people that really can visualize and want this. That was the one thing we learned from Jim Grody, who is the founder of Donato's, is that he was a visualizer. He always had the next vision in mind, where he was going after this. It's in the front of my house today, but I'm going to have that store. He said he was going to have a store with black brick. I don't know why he chose black brick, but he wanted to have this store with black brick, and he kept talking about it and visualizing it. So it was always there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's interesting. And hopefully, Mary Jo, I mean, you have like 6 or 7 other pizza franchises advertising in the magazine, so I hope you don't get them upset with this huge, big article.
I think there's room. I think there's room for all of them, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
We all love pizza.
Definitely. Absolutely. Mary Jo, what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on Franchise Times Magazine? Is there a website they can go to?
There sure is. They can go to www.franchisetimes.com.
That's fantastic. And we're looking forward to having you guys back next month and, of course, reading this edition and, of course, seeing you in Washington as well, Mary Jo.
Well, we sure enjoy doing this. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks so much, Mary Jo. Have a great day today.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, that's a great story, isn't it, Don, about Donato's?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
To.
It's like, it just, you know, and that's what keeps this show interesting. You know, it's just like you and I are drawn to the entrepreneurs, you know, just when you hear those stories, it's just so inspiring, isn't it?
Well, I can see it now. I get the magazine, I take it home at dinner, I'm reading it, my wife gets mad. She's like, what the heck, put the magazine in? I'm reading about Donato's.
Exactly. Well, I see our guest Jeff has called in. So why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we have a great guest. We're meeting with Jeff Hill, the Vice President of Roar Capital Group. Roar Capital Group is an Atlanta-based private equity firm that specializes in business and consumer service companies with attractive growth prospects and revenues ranging from $20 million to $1 billion. Hey, Jeff, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
That's great. Great today, Jeff. Jeff, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Marty and I are excited to have yourself and your company on. I mean, so many brands you represent and several different industries. It must be pretty exciting being an executive with Roar during these times.
It is. It is. And I'm fairly new. I started officially here about 2 months ago, but I've been working with this group for about 15 years now, people within this group. So it's different for me personally going from the operations side to the private equity side, but it's been very exciting.
Yeah, I imagine. I ran out of breath in the introduction, Jeff, reading all the franchises. I said, I'm not going to do that again. I said, I'll let you talk about them, you know. But where are you calling from this morning, Jeff? We always like to get an idea.
Thankfully, I'm in Atlanta. I was in the Northeast yesterday and got delayed, and we thought we might have not been able to get out. But we got out late last night, and I'm back in our office here in Atlanta today.
Oh, that's great. It's good. You did get out in time. We got hit in Pennsylvania really bad. It looks like we're going to get a foot of snow today. So, yeah, absolutely. And I saw your resume, too. I thought you could talk a little bit about your background, Jeff, you know, kind of like what you were doing before joining Roar Capital Group.
Yeah, to go kind of way back, I started out studying hospitality. I went to the hotel and restaurant school at Cornell University and thought I wanted to be in the hotel industry and run hotels. So I started out working in that industry for a number of years on the operations side. In 1995, I got connected with Steve Romanello, who was the vice president of franchise development at Holiday Inn Worldwide. And he worked for a gentleman named Mike Levin, who was somewhat of a legend in the hospitality industry and the hotel industry. We then, in 1995, Mike Levin left. His nephew, Neil Aronson, raised the money to basically purchase a brand called Microtel Inns, which was a small budget hotel chain based up in Rochester, New York, that we purchased. And I started out in 1995 at the startup of that company selling franchises for Microtel. And we then purchased a second brand called Hawthorne Suites, purchased a third brand called Best Inns, and then we sold that business in 2000 to the Pritzker family up in Chicago. And we kind of split up for about 18 months. We all kind of went off and did a little bit of our own thing for that period of time. And then Neil Aronson, who was the founder of Roark, started Roark Capital Group in late 2001. And their first investment came in late 2002, which was Carvel Ice Cream. At that time, Steve Romanell and I then came on board to basically start and eventually develop the operating company, one of the operating companies that Roark owns, which is now called Focus Brands. And we own that company owns four restaurant concepts. So that's what I did. I'm mostly on the operations side of franchising. I fell in love with franchising in 1995 when I was introduced to the industry. Very active in the IFA. I'm personally active in the IFA and really love the industry, what it does for people. And you know, now I'm on the kind of the investor side, looking at new opportunities that we may want to purchase and help develop and grow some great brands.
We're with you, Jeff, obviously, in loving the franchise industry. It's funny, I was a hotel restaurant management major myself at Fairleigh Dickinson, and you know, Cornell was always considered the top school for what you did, so you definitely got a good background, and I'm very familiar with the Microtel brand, so it's interesting your background and how you came to this point. Now, you were the president of Cinnabon franchise, which I don't know how you didn't get addictive to the product.
It's true.
It's tough. It is hard. I was the president the last 3 years up until December 31st of last year when I was at Focus Brands. And it is a great, great brand, great concept.
Right.
I'm challenged a little bit, obviously, with where we're located. We're located in closed malls primarily, airports and travel plazas. So the industry and obviously the economy has hurt a little bit. But there's great people in that brand. The founder's son, Greg Komen, is our Franchise Advisory Council president. So being able to work with somebody that's been with the brand since day one and, you know, hear those stories and hear that history. We actually, this year, about a month ago, started launching a new product line, Cinnabon did, which is cupcakes. And we actually worked with the founder and the woman that created the original Cinnabon recipe in 1985. We worked directly with her. She created a new recipe for the new cupcake line. So it was a tremendous opportunity to work with some great franchisees and really try to bring Cinnabon back to the forefront.
Yeah, definitely. Good. So tell us a little bit about the history of Rourke. I think it's interesting how the name Rourke was derived. Maybe you could talk about that, Jeff, please.
Yeah, again, we've been around almost 8 years now, the company, and we're into our second fund. Our first fund was almost all the way placed a couple years ago. We have some additional money left for add-on investments into the portfolio companies that we have purchased with Fund 1. We're now into our Fund 2, which is a $1 billion fund. We have about $700 million left to invest in that fund, so we're actively looking for some great opportunities. I think that the name is interesting. Most people find it annoying because it's Rourke Capital Group, and they always ask you to spell it again, and how do you spell it? But it does come from Ayn Rand's book, The Fountainhead, and Howard Rourke is the character in the book, and if anyone's ever read it, it's a very long book. A lot of people were forced to read it in high school, but it's a great story about an architect that felt very strong that there was a certain way that he felt was the right way. Everybody mocked him. Everybody told him he wasn't doing it the right way. He really went through his whole life until in the end he was basically proven that his way was the right way. And he had conviction, he had passion to stick to his guns on what he felt was true and with a tremendous amount of integrity. And that's what we feel like we try to do here at Rourke. And I think the fact that myself and Steve Romanello, who have been operators our whole life, are now here is one of those examples of doing it differently. You know, most private equity companies, they're primarily filled with very intelligent financial people that have never been active or worked or run a company.
Right.
So financially, they get it. It's unbelievable. And we have all those people here as well. But to bring in operators into the mix is, I don't think I know of any private equity company that has done what we've done. So that is just another example of trying to kind of do it differently, not just for different sake, but do it because we really believe having that level of operating talent as we look at opportunities and work with CEOs and the portfolio companies, we think is a plus.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did Rourke's interest in the franchise industry start, Jeff?
You know, I think it goes back, again, to a lot of us personally. You know, Neil Aronson was involved in that startup and acquisition of Microtel back in 1995. Steve Romanello worked at Days Inn in franchising originally and then into Holiday Inn. So we've been in this industry for a long time. We've seen it grow. We've seen it develop. We've seen the good and the bad. We've seen the difficulties and all that, and we feel like we know the business. We feel like we understand the business to some degree. We certainly learn more with every meeting we have with people, but we really like that industry. We like how it puts people into their own dreams of growing their own business. We like the model.
And I like the diversification of different industries that
yeah.
you have from sign franchise, coupon, batteries, a lot in food, of course, and that's diversified within itself. You got a nice group
yep.
of brands, and who knows what this can turn into. There could be there could be 50 brands that you guys might have someday. Is that where it
yeah.
might go to?
I don't know if 50 is possible, but we certainly if we continue to have success with our Fund 2 investments and as we start exiting some of our Fund 1 investments, as long as we you're only as good as your last deal. So as long as we continue to, continue to show some good returns for our investors, then when we go back and start raising for Fund 3, hopefully we will be fortunate enough to get, people that we've worked with for a number of years now come back and still want to work with us. And, then that will lead hopefully to more brands and more opportunities that we see as it evolves. And there's so much happening right now in the economy and in the industry that, there's things that we're looking at now that aren't really ready for us right now, but they may ready. We may want to look at it 6 years from now.
Right.
So we definitely take a long-term view, and we're entrenched in this industry. We love this industry, and we're going to hopefully be active in it for a number of years to come.
What's the big appeal to the industry? That I guess it's just a much lower failure rate. That just just anybody with the right attitude and follow the system can start up a business and be successful. I mean, is that the core of it, Jeff?
You know, I think that's to some degree right. I think that part of the challenge with the industry is that a lot of people think it's easy.
Right.
And we talk to a lot of really phenomenal brands that are young, 3, 4, 5 units, and they are looking at franchising for the wrong reasons. They're looking at it for the payout. They're looking at it for the fee. I get that $30,000 franchise fee, or all. A lot of people that are in the 50 to 80 range, they want to go international. They want to get that $150,000 development fee. Those are the wrong reasons for franchising. We understand both the good and the bad. And the bad is when someone's not ready. Someone's not ready to start franchising. They don't understand the support it takes to do it right. They don't understand the selection process and how you're really forming, especially in the early days. Those first 5 to 10 franchise partners that you bring into your brand are so important because they are going to build your business. And a lot of people don't see it that way. They want to chase the fee and they want to quickly get to that point. But I try to caution as many people as I can is do it right, slow down, take your time, and make sure it's right for you. Because look, there's some phenomenal brands. Chipotle is one of them. They're a competitor of ours with Moe's. All company stores. Phenomenal growth, unbelievable brand. They just have chosen not to franchise. That was the right choice for them. That's great. Moe's, we are, their competitor, chasing at their heels with franchising model. But it's just not for everybody.
Right.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And you've been doing this a while too now, Jeff. I mean, what changes have you seen in the last decade? Any positive changes? I mean, Don was reading in segment one, we usually go over current events, and what were you mentioning, Don? You said 90 industries now, which was new to me. I've never seen that number before. But do you think there's too many systems out there today? I mean, compared to maybe a decade ago.
Yes and no. I think again, you're always going to have a situation where people see it, they understand it, they see how much money everyone else is making doing franchise, and they want to jump into it. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. So if I have a good brand and I want to grow through franchise, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and that's going to continue to happen. The thing that we have to all be aware of, you guys included, myself and others, is the industry does need to protect itself. And, we have to make sure that when we see things happening within our industry, that in some cases we point it out as well. Because the last thing we want is to go back 40 years ago, when Bill Rosenberg and those guys developed the IFA as an example. We don't want to get back to that situation. We don't want, the government to have to come in and mandate everything we do. We need to do it ourselves. So I think it's okay that a lot, and there's a tremendous, every year there's more franchise ors start brands start franchising that most people even realize.
Right.
And a lot of those won't make it. They'll try, they'll start to, they'll realize, oh, this isn't for me, and they'll stop.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's really going to change. But so I don't think it's really my right to say yes or no, because everyone does it for the right reasons or the wrong reasons or whatever. But I think it's going to happen. We just have to make sure that they're doing it right. When they choose to do it, they're doing it right, so the industry doesn't get affected.
Yeah, no, well said. Yeah. Jeff, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No
That's
problem.
Fantastic. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2000. 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise entrepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a great show today. We're meeting with Jeff Hill, Vice President of Roar Capital Group. Roar Capital Group is an Atlanta-based private equity firm that specializes in business and consumer service companies with attractive growth prospects and revenues ranging from $20 million to $1 billion. And, Don, I think you're up.
Jeff, talk to us about the benefits for a franchise company to partner with a private equity firm like Rourke.
Well, I think probably there's several benefits. I think and everybody at some point, every entrepreneur that started their own brand at some point is going to have to make that decision. And there's different paths. You know, one path obviously is to go and get debt financing and try to pull some money out that way and continue, you know, basically with their ownership stake, and they retain that. But it's hard to get that, and the leverage in the last couple of years certainly has changed dramatically, so that option isn't necessarily as strong as it used to be. I think what we provide is, at the end of the day, what we provide is some needed capital. A lot of times people, you know, they have a great idea, they have a great vision, they have a great concept, but they don't have the capital. They need capital to grow. They need capital to hire some people and shore up some holes maybe in the support group. And typically that's what we're able to bring in. We are a company, we're a firm that, as we invest in great concepts and great ideas, we're investing in the management team to some degree. We're investing in potentially the ownership group that still wants to be involved, and we're certainly investing in the brand itself. So, you know, for us, we're a partner, and you know, typically we are the majority owner after the acquisition, but we love when a entrepreneur that started the company is not ready to leave. We love for them to stick around to some degree and continue to invest if they want to, or continue to work if they want to. So, you know, we have a lot of different ways of doing it here that I think, you know, is a little bit not as typical in the private equity environment. But again, I think the biggest reason is that, you know, someone needs capital, they need it to grow, and we can provide that to them, you know, through an acquisition and partnership.
Are there certain areas in the franchise industry that you're targeting more than others? I mean, obviously you have food covered, but yet you have a few others. Any, you know, one or the other you target, or is it just in general you just look for good opportunities?
You know, I think we're getting a little bit better at being a little bit more strategic in that regard. You know, I think we used to look at a lot of different things. We've kind of gotten into a groove with food. We've done well with food, so you know, now we have several different food concepts, and I think, you know, part of it too on the franchisor side and the investor side is, at the end of the day, the concept and the brand has to be strong, but it still is a people business. You know, finding the right leadership team to run these concepts is extremely important. So as you buy and invest and acquire more brands, at the same token, you're constantly looking for the best leaders in the industry, and that's an important factor. So we think we know a lot of really good leaders out there that we haven't been able to bring on board with any of our current brands that we'd like to you know, talk to and start to do that. So I think we'll continue investing in food. We like a lot of different segments that we're looking at. You know, we've kind of lately gotten into this fast casual environment with Moe's and Schlotzky's, and we like it. We think it's going, you know, it's going to continue to grow, and there's some really good unit level economics with that type of segment. You know, we'll look at opportunistic things as well with food that that we will continue to look for, but I think from a target perspective, we do like the fast casual environment. Outside of food, we've done some investing in education. We own Primrose Schools, which we think is a fantastic company and brand, and we're going to continue to look at the whole educational services area to continue to look at, invest in. We think that going forward is going to continue to be a growing segment and a good solid segment. Not unlike probably everybody else right now, we're also looking at healthcare and what's going to be happening with healthcare service type companies and what that might lead to down the road. But you know, we are certainly looking for that. We do own Fast Signs and Money Mailer, so you know, we'll continue to look at service businesses as well that that might play a role in the future economy.
That's great. So what can franchise companies do, Jeff, to make themselves more appealing to private equity equity investors?
You know, I think the number one thing I would suggest to somebody, whether it be the entrepreneur originally that is building the business, or somebody that bought it from somebody else, has grown it, now ready to exit again, I think the first and foremost is the unit level economics of the brand have to be strong. It's not just because if you have 1,000 units open that means you're going to get a good multiple and get a good exit, you know, price. It doesn't. That's not just the statistics. If the unit level economics are strong, that then means that someone that buys it is going to assume it has growth potential, unless it's, you know, done, if they've maxed out all their growth. But focusing on unit level economics, spending the time, understanding how that brand works, putting the support to the right spot to make that unit level economics work, and if the franchisee is making good money, and it's a good ROI, then they have something that's going to be very attractive to a potential buyer. On the other side is having their, you know, all of their information correct is also an important thing. You know, these are typically the private equity companies have, you know, a lot of times they've invested in franchising, but they really don't know franchising, so they haven't really worked any franchise company. You know, they've sat on boards and all that kind of stuff, so they get it, they know what they want and what they want to see. But if a brand is looking to sell to a private equity company, and they don't have able to get the basics information, like if they can't provide unit level information because, you know, they're not getting it from their franchise partner, and they're saying, oh, well, we think it's a good investment, but here's a couple P&Ls that we've been able to get, that's going to hurt them. So the more they can have ready information, tight files, you know, all the things that from a diligence perspective, that does lead to value, because at the end of the day, the more you can show that you're tight and that you have your systems in place and all of the information's in place, then the less a buyer is going to have to assume that there's something hidden that they don't know.
Right.
And a lot of times that's hard, because a lot of people, they grow these brands from 50, they get to 100, 200, 300, 400, but they didn't do it from the beginning. So they have to kind of start to, and now they're faced with a lot of money to go back and try to clean up all that stuff, and then by the time they want to exit, it might be too late. Now they're chasing files and information.
True. The majority of our listeners, Jeff, are prospective franchisees. You've been doing this a while now. What advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise?
You know, I think the first thing that I would do is, you know, I think it, there's a range of buyers that I've worked with. I've been involved in, I think, probably over 2,000 transactions in my life with franchise sales from my days at U.S. Franchise Systems and Focus Brands. What I see is a lot of people that have never been in the franchise industry before. They just left their job or they've saved money and they want to go off on their own. They're so excited. They're so emotional that they'll basically do anything. You know, they won't stop and kind of take a deep breath and do all their checking. You know, they just convinced. You know, they see an earnings claim, an item 19 in the FDD, and they say, okay, well, if that's the system, I'm going to do 20 times more than that, you know, because I'm great. And I know, and I love those people, the passion.
Right.
But I would tell that person is take a step back, do your homework, look for the red flags as it relates to you. Individually, because everyone has a need, everyone has their own need structure of why they're doing it and all that. But if they can just write down why they're doing it, what their main goals are, and then look for how this opportunity is going to help or hurt that, and listen to the response. You know, when they see a red flag, a lot of people, they just want to cross it off because they're so invested. They love the brand, they love that sandwich, or they love whatever, they want to own it. But then they get into it and they're hurt. And there's a lot of people that I've seen, unfortunately, not make it, as you guys have. The larger franchisees that are now going on to start doing some multiple stuff, you know, I just keep telling them, make sure you understand the unit level economics, make sure you understand the management of the brand, that they really have a franchisee mindset and the success of the franchisee, and they're not just doing this for themselves and just trying to, you know, use you as a source of financing to grow their brand.
Yeah, that's
great.
Well,
great advice. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Jeff, we have about 60 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on Roar Capital Group? Is there a website they can go to or numbers they can call?
Sure. www.roarkcapital.com, and that's R-O-A-R-K capital.com. Or they can, if anyone has any questions, they can call me directly at 404-591-3330.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Jeff. You've been a fantastic guest. We'd love to have you guys back at the end of the year if you like.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, and thanks again for all you guys do for the franchise industry. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Have a great day today.
All right, you too.
Jeff.
Thanks.
Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, interesting. We've never done this type of show.
No, this is the first.
Yeah, a lot of great brands, a lot of brands we grew up with, like Carvel, and it's interesting, different phases in the franchising industry on why the industry is successful, and so it'll, like you always say, be really interesting to see what happens with these guys over the next few years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it really is amazing. So good job today, Don, and I want to thank Mary Jo Larson again for coming on in segment one and talking about the next edition of Franchise Times Magazine and Jeff Roar Capital Group. And we got another great show next week, don't we, Don?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We got a full schedule for, just so you know, for the next, like, 2 months. Let's see if I can actually bring it up on the website. If you go to franchiseinterviews.com and go to our upcoming show schedule, let's see, next week we have East Coast Wings and Grill. Following week, Margarita's Mexican Restaurant. On March 17th, we have the legendary Dr. Scott Shane. He just came out with his new book, Born Entrepreneurs, Born Leaders. Then we have Fetch Pet Care, and got Ronnie Deutsch right before the end of tax season, April 8th. So we got some incredible shows coming up over the next 2 months. And then we have the franchise show in Washington, don't we?
Yep, in early April.
Which is going to be fun. So that's always a great time. We call that the Super Bowl of franchising. So
right.
It's a great job, Don. Again, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Okay, have a great day.
Have a great day, Don. Take care. Bye-bye.